Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I'm the digital resource curator for Faith to Go.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the director of formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
And welcome back to the podcast. We have a special guest sitting in with us.
We do, a very special guest.
The producer of producers. The digital evangelist for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego. It's Greg Tuttle, everybody.
David Tremaine, you are a fantastic human being. And Charlie, thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. You're so welcome. And Greg's here to introduce part two from last week's God Sighting, which you recorded at EYE in D.C. In Maryland.
In Maryland. Mm-hmm. In D.C. and Maryland. Yep. Well, we touted it as being in Washington, D.C. The University of Maryland is far from metropolitan
Washington, D.C. Was it false advertising?
One of the coolest things about faith-based travel is that it's a wonderful time of unknowing. It's a wonderful time of being planned up until a point where you start to travel and you step into that journey. I mean, we prepared for a year, let's be clear. Charlotte, you made all the arrangements down to the Metro cards. Thank you very much. And then once we were there, we met at the pre-dawn hours of Lindbergh Field, 5 a.m., and then trust. Trust the people who would help us, trust the people who had planned for us, trust people we would never meet, and thank them for their hard work to get us where we needed to go. We flew through Austin, saw this huge F1 circuit as we were taking off from there on our way to Washington, D.C., finally landing in a set from Men in Black. My youngest son likes to call it the Warp Core from Star Trek. Going outside and being former guest of the show, Rachel will call it being slapped in the face by humidity. And then we followed the signs to the Metro shuttle. Here we were, tired, hungry, moving across this new environment. And then we saw others. Saw the Diocese of Nebraska with smiling faces and shirts that said UIE bound. We met people from Spokane, met people from the Diocese of California, which is the San Francisco Bay Area, rode the metro through L'Enfant Station, all the way to where we thought we needed to go, and we followed all the lines, and then our group grew again. We went to the bus stop waiting for the shuttle to the final end of where we thought we were going to be, but then we are greeted by smiling faces from Utahns, who were led by a former guest of the show, Bishop Phyllis Spiegel. Hi, Bishop. It was good to see you and meet you in 3D. We got on the bus, crammed, all of us, kept going, and finally got to the University of Maryland, which was this Hogwarts-looking place with brick buildings and white columns and had no idea where anything was, but we were there. And our group of 15 that started in San Diego, which became 30, once we got to the metro, became 50, became 100, and by the end of that day, we were 1,000 people. It was a lovely space, and there was a lot of walking. You know, at church-wide events like these, we have an experience to meet so many people from all around the church, a huge contingent from the Diocese of Taiwan. Europeans were there, not to mention people from all over the United States, from Puerto Rico, from Guam, from everywhere. It was a fantastic celebration of Episcopalians. Nobody ever got a number about how many people were there, but it was a very big basketball arena filled with students. And not just students that we're all going to go learn things, but students of all ages, student leaders who gave wonderful testimonies about how God is working in their lives. And at the end of that week was this incredible experience to stand around in a circle, as you heard the beginning of in last week's episode. This week is the San Diegans' response to that. As we swing around, we heard from people from last week from Alabama, from Kansas, from West Virginia, and now we're getting around to the part of the circle where we meet students from North Park, from Poway. And you get to hear their interactions and responses. But what you will hear is people don't specify where they're from, is that they are all San Diegans in this. And that was such a beautiful, unifying thing that in a moment like this, in an event like this, you have people from the Diocese of San Diego specifically. At this thing, you go there as individuals and you leave as one. And you're going to hear that in just a moment here. What I'd like to do is do a whole bunch of thanks, because we had a harrowing adventure of an extra day.
Yes,
in Washington, D.C., due to some flight cancellations and some other things. And like the kindness and patience of other people made the difference here. Kyle and Karen were in full force at Southwest Airlines gate A6, wearing their entitlement all over their sleeves. And that was not patient. And the patience and kindness of our team in order to move through several hours of rerouting flights and doing other sorts of things. So Tammy and Sade, that we were grateful. There are a whole bunch of other people, especially two former guests of the show, Lauren and Amani, who through their leadership and patience guided, you know, 15 students and what we needed to do to get home. Mm-hmm. And that was completely different from the adventure of the Episcopal Youth Event, which is a lifetime of 3 days. Each moment of that was filled with things, more rain than I've ever seen in my life. San Diegans trying to put it in their pockets as they're trying to catch it to take it home because it's more rain and just connections with people. On the 4th of July, we didn't see fireworks, but we saw fireflies. Mm. Such a beautiful thing. And the students will tell you a lot more about it right now.
My name is Lauren, and I'm from San Diego. And I definitely saw God going past the boundaries of language and reaching everyone through the power of music this entire experience.
Hello, I'm Samuel from the Diocese of San Diego, and I saw God at the church and like in the music and like all the beautiful songs we sing together and stuff.
Hi, I'm Matthew. I'm also from San Diego, and I would say I saw God during worship and when we sang songs. The energy and the atmosphere was amazing, which made me joyful. And also meeting new people across the country and like making new friendships was amazing. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Hi, my name is Luke. I am also from San Diego. And I saw God throughout this entire week and seeing people come out and not being afraid to be themselves. And those who were more introverted, just seeing them kind of lighten up.
Hi, I'm Jackson. I'm also from San Diego, and I saw God in the worship music at the end when everyone was jumping up and down and just euphorically happy listening to God's word and praising him together.
I'm Harper from the Diocese of San Diego, and I encountered God through the wisdom that was given to us by clergy members at all of the different workshops that we were able to do.
Hello, I'm Isabella. I'm also from San Diego. And I would say I saw God the most when I was able to walk through all the nature that is at the University of Maryland.
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm also from San Diego, and I encountered God seeing a patch of blue sky in the middle of a rainy day.
Hi, my name is Nate. I'm also from San Diego, and I would say I saw God the first night we were here when we all got to see the fireflies as a group.
Hi everyone, I'm Maddie, also from the Diocese of San Diego, and I had a major God moment when I looked out to the music directors and all the musicians just have this beaming light on their face, and then looking at the people around me and seeing that same face reflected back, and just knowing that everyone knew it was a special moment, and despite all the differences that we might have among us, we all felt connected to something really, really special.
Hi, my name is Nadine, and I'm also from San Diego, and I saw God through worship today, how everyone was just happy to worship, didn't, you know, care what's around them, who's looking, or nothing. We were just in the moment, you know, singing to God.
Hi, my name is Omnia, and I'm also from San Diego, and I feel like I feel God's presence most when we're in like every worship we had, because he brings us all together and we're all able to come together and sing and listen to each other and just have a good time together.
Hi, I'm Sophia, also from the Diocese of San Diego, and I saw God in all the connections I made with people I never thought I would ever know or smile or dance with. I got to experience all those things with.
My name is Amani from San Diego. I saw God in many ways. I'll say starting just to begin with from our preparation to come here, meeting with our team leader and meeting with the youth, just getting to know them. And also when we arrive here, just seeing all the beautiful and amazing youth that came here for one reason, because of God. And another thing that I had saw God through when the sermon was given, I have touch the Holy Spirit while they were giving their sermon. It's pretty amazing. And the music, that's one thing I can't forget, the music. I felt like when every music that is being sung It was the language of love and unity, and it's all because of God. Above all, we're all here because of Him.
To hear more about that, please dial up edsd.org/news. You're going to read something in the next coming weeks about that whole experience from our students. It's going to be very special. And I'm pleased to be the John the Baptizer for that experience.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have locusts and honey, Greg?
There were a lot of bugs.
Okay.
Yeah. Fireflies.
But did you dip them in honey?
I did not.
You think he dipped them?
I do.
Oh.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, like nachos, but you would imagine that it would add to the texture.
They were gourmet locusts dipped in honey. Wild honey.
Mm. Mm.
This is totally how it happened.
Maybe he caught them with honey.
Oh.
That's cruel.
Hey, you got to survive out there in the wilderness. You know?
You guys are great. All right, I'm going to go on that side of the mic now.
Okay. Hey, you let us, everybody out there, you let us know what you think John the Baptist was doing with the with
totally
the
unrelated
and the wild
to today's
honey.
Scripture. We have gone down a tangent.
Do you think he was eating them separate? Did he dip?
It was locust dipped
in
honey.
Or was one? That's what you don't know that.
I know it in my heart.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Greg. Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you for everyone that shared their God sightings the last couple weeks from EYE, from our contingent. We would love to hear from you always. Any of your God sightings, questions, comments, stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection, you can email us, faith2go@edsd.org. You can get in contact through Instagram @faith2go, direct messages, tag us. All the ways of getting in contact with us are listed in the description for the episode. And we are going to transition now to our gospel discussion. We're talking about the Transfiguration from Luke chapter 9. That is this coming Sunday, August 6th. I believe Transfiguration's always on August 6th, but this year it's on a Sunday. So there you go. Charlie's going to read it, and then we'll each have a point. So this is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36.
Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of these things that they had seen.
I'm still over here thinking about the honey thing.
Well, how else was he going to eat the honey? Was he like licking it out of the bowl?
Yeah, because you're gonna find it just in nature.
Yes, and you're gonna put it in a little leaf cup. And you were going to dip the locust into it.
I like it. I like that this wild guy that's literally wearing camel hair is like, oh no, I gotta get a little cup for my honey.
Are you saying that John didn't like cups? Of honey?
Maybe he did. Maybe he had. That was his like one little thing. He's like, when I eat honey, I gotta have a cup.
It was a leaf.
I gotta have a leaf cup. I gotta go find a leaf in the desert. If he was using a cup, it was a skull of something. 100%.
No.
All right.
Okay.
But I like your version of it. I think it's very nice. It's good too. I just don't know. Okay. So here we are, chapter 9 of Luke's gospel. chapter 9. It's a good chapter.
Which has nothing to do with John or locusts or anything.
No.
Okay. Oh, deep breath.
I mean, John is in Luke's gospel. So that's our one connection. All right. So, here's our context for
today. Let's have it. Okay. Yes.
All right. Chapter 9. This is obviously Luke's version of the Transfiguration. Interestingly, on Transfiguration in Matthew's year, we don't hear from Matthew about the Transfiguration because we actually already heard about the Transfiguration of Matthew not too long ago. I remember talking about it pretty recently. Interestingly, the chapter right before this in Luke, chapter 8, is when Jesus tells the parable of the sower. He's kind of in the same kind of general vicinity of his ministry in terms of the timeline as we have been in Matthew, just like, you know, Matthew's in chapter 13, we're in chapter 9. But Jesus is in this teaching, healing, parable-telling mode. It's a little bit more mixed up. There's not this whole string of parables, but there is the sower, the parable explained, a lamp under a jar, these kind of things. Jesus calms a storm, and then the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus sends the 12 out on their mission where they don't take any bags or tunics or anything like that, extra tunics. They got to wear at least one tunic. They'll definitely not get into a house if they're not wearing a tunic. The feeding of the 5,000, and then we're into the Transfiguration story. So that's where we are in Luke's gospel. Jesus, again, is in the region of Galilee. He's in kind of the first part of his ministry. He's doing a lot of teaching and healing, and that's where we are. The disciples just came back from this mission kind of thing, and then the feeding of the 5,000, some miracle stories, and now the Transfiguration. So that's where we are. Charlotte, you're going to kick us off.
I am having a hard time getting this together. No, I got this.
Okay.
So I actually was thinking about the very beginning of the gospel where it says, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And I was thinking about Jesus's intention in going to this space. And actually, in lots of different things, we hear about Jesus choosing places that are set apart. He'll go out in a boat. He goes up on a hill. He is in the garden. Like all throughout, there is this repeated behavior of Jesus intentionally choosing to go to a place that is set apart. And so in this instance, he takes these three people with him and he goes up on the mountain to pray. And I was thinking about what prayer does to us. And sometimes a prayer is just a quick little thing that we offer in a moment that we just need to give something to God. You know, in children's terms, whether it's help, thanks, or wow, but just a quick little thing that we need to give to God. And then other times, prayer is a way of opening ourselves up, of creating space for conversation and relationship with God, providing an opportunity to view things possibly differently, especially like when we're stuck. Prayer is a great thing that for me, when I am in a place where I am stuck about something, and to just spend some time in conversation with God around it to see what is revealed to me through it. And so I was thinking about this with Jesus choosing to go up to this mountain, and he wasn't going up there just to get away. He went up there to pray. And so if Jesus is spending that time in prayer, then Jesus is being opened up in this time frame too. And I love that we literally get a physical transfiguration through prayer, right? Because like so often when we pray that we are looking for God to work on us, to transform us, to transform a relationship or a situation that we're in. And in this one, Jesus goes up onto the mountain and here is Moses and here is Elijah and they're talking about the things that are to come. And then he is glowing and his robes are dazzling white. He is physically transfigured. Mm-hmm. And he is transfigured while praying. And so I just love the fact that in Jesus's choice to pray and to be open, that is when this transfiguration occurs. It is not when he is out healing or teaching. I mean, we've had a lot of parables of late, but it's not in any of those moments. It is in that moment of him creating space to be open and connected with God.
The idea that like another function of prayer is that it creates the space for the complexity of who we are to be easier to see, you know, to like reveal to us something about ourselves, something that's going on within us.
Yeah.
That's one part of prayer that I absolutely love, especially that kind of contemplative prayer where we're just kind of sitting and letting and seeing what arises.
And that feels very much like what Jesus is doing here.
Yeah. This thing, what arises in him is the, you know, these things, this history that he carries within himself, you know? And my point kind of is kind of parallel to that, because I'm thinking about then that same experience with the disciples where they're trekking up this mountain with Jesus, and they're not praying.
Mm-mm.
They're so sleepy. Yeah, they're so sleepy. It's interesting, this idea that this whole thing happens while Jesus is praying, right? So while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. Suddenly, two men were standing with him, Moses and Elijah. And then Peter's companions see this, and then this whole thing happens, and then God speaks, and then everything is done, and they go back down, you know. So Jesus is in this kind of in-between place of prayer, this kind of like openness to reality, this openness to the unseen. And then Peter and the other disciples, John and James, are also in this liminal space, but it's because they're so tired. And I love that idea that, like, what they're trying to do is stay awake. So I guess in a way they are trying, but they're not like intentionally entering this place of liminality like Jesus is with prayer. They're just kind of like trying to be good companions to Jesus. They're trying to stay up and be with him, and they're just so tired. I'm just thinking about these moments, like, I know what this feels like, this experience of being like so tired mm-hmm. and still being awake,
mm-hmm.
you know. And like, I know that in those moments, your inhibitions, your kind of like, your kind of self-awareness, your self-consciousness maybe is like just lowered and lowered and lowered to the point that you're kind of this like most innocent childlike version of yourself. Maybe you're like slap happy sometimes, whatever, but you're like that kind of like super open, vulnerable place because of how tired you are. All the kind of like self-defense mechanisms and barriers are kind of like stripped away. And it's cool that this happens in that moment for the disciples, that Jesus is kind of entering that space intentionally to kind mm-hmm. of do that stripping away. The disciples are just like doing their best to be with Jesus. They kind of like are ushered there because of their physical exhaustion. But that in that moment is when they see this thing happen, and then Moses and Elijah are there, and it's like amazing. And then as they were leaving him, Peter says to Jesus. So as like the Moses and Elijah are going away, Peter, in his exhaustion, in this like most vulnerable, most innocent way, is just like, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then says, not realizing what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really, I love how the story is really like doubling down on the fact that they are so sleepy, that this is all happening because of how tired they are. In any other context, if it had happened in the middle of the day when they were fully rested, it wouldn't have happened like this. You know, there's something so beautiful about that to me, that in this moment of exhaustion, in this moment of just being totally vulnerable to what is happening, they find this liminality with Jesus. They see this reality of who Jesus is, and in this childlike way are able to express their deepest like desires in this moment. You know, I'm just struck by that kind of liminality, that mm-hmm. the beauty of that space. Trying to figure out ways in our lives and the practices of getting to that place, because there's something so genuine about this moment with Peter. Peter has a lot of genuine moments with Jesus, you know, but this one has this kind of like childlike wonder about it that I think we're all yearning for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to see the world in this way. Only when they are there, it's because they are so exhausted that they see this whole thing happening. And it's almost like when the voice says, this is my son, my chosen, listen to him. It's like that explosion, it like snaps them all back to reality, and then it's all gone. So it's kind of like this, is it a dream?
Mm-hmm.
It's this like liminal in-between weirdness. Just because it's a dream doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
Just because it's a dream doesn't mean it's not true. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's both, mm-hmm. you know? And in the end, they don't tell anyone, it says. Those days they told no one any of the things that they had seen, but then it's like only in looking back through the crucifixion and resurrection does it click to them like, oh my gosh, that was real.
Yeah.
That thing that happened, you know? So there is something about that, like being open to the moment, holding these like miraculous otherworldly experiences, holding these times of liminality. You made reference to this when we were talking about it before we started recording, but like this idea, like Mary holds things in mm-hmm. her heart, you know, and that's from Luke. Mary holding, pondering things in her heart, just kind of like holding these experiences, not judging them, true or not, real or not, good or bad, but just like letting them click as they may, you know? So yeah, I just love that. Like, there's all these ways of entering this kind of liminal space where things are revealed to us, you know? And when those truths are revealed, it's not always easy to know if they're real or not. It's like letting them be, letting ourselves enter into that space. And like for them, it was both amazing and terrifying.
Right.
This whole story is such a good kind of microcosm of what this experience is like, of prayer, of self-reflection, of self-revelation, of revelation about the world. Like, there's plenty of truths we know, we learn about ourselves and the people we love and the world around us that are both awe-inspiring and terrifying at the same time. But just like when that happens, we know that we have these spiritual ancestors that have been in that place before, that have gone before us, that have held them, you know, so it is possible to hold them gently and let them be whatever they are.
Well, and I like, David, as we're thinking about it in this liminal space and through prayer and through sleepiness, but that it's shared experience. And so often when I think about this story or hear about this story, it's about maybe the disciples not really understanding what's happening to Jesus. And so there's a separation that happens in the way that we view them. And they're physically up on this mountaintop together, and they are having this experience together.
Yeah.
And they all hear God from the cloud. It's not a rebuke.
Yeah.
It's an awakening. And I just love the fact that there's this invitation to think about, even in those moments, how are we interconnected with each other? What are these shared experiences that we're having?
Yeah. To like imagine beyond the words written in the gospel. I'm just like, I'm imagining those times after Jesus's resurrection and ascension, where they're all just kind of like still trying to figure out what to do next. And they're just kind of like slowly like, man, all those times we heard voices, I think that was real. I think that was really happening. Isn't that crazy? I think we should maybe, I guess we could tell people about that now, you know? So something beautiful about that, that kind of like process. Again, it's about the climb. It all comes back to this. Thank you, Miley. All right. Well, those are our two points for today. They were both kind of about this liminal space. Charlotte coming at it from this idea of prayer and how we intentionally enter that space and the practices that help us to experience that space of liminality. And then this exhaustion, this physical exhaustion feeling. My point, just thinking about the disciples and how they are there with Jesus, but from like a totally different direction and holding these experiences of excitement and awe and also terror gently and trying to just process them and work through them. We would love to know what your point would have been if you'd been a guest on the podcast this week. We would also love to hear any of your questions, comments, or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection. You can always get in contact with us through our email or Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, if you want to check out any of the pictures from the EYE event and see what it was like for those people sharing the God sightings these last couple of weeks, you can go to @DioSanDiego on Instagram. That feed has a bunch of pictures from EYE, so check those out. We'd also love for you to share the show with anybody you think would like to hear it. I'm sure you've got people in your life that like to think about the gospel, maybe have questions about the gospel, wondering about it. If you found something that you like in the podcast and in our conversations, we'd love for you to share it. You can just click a share button there on your podcast app. It's the little square with an arrow going up. We would also love... Jesus is a square with an arrow going up. I see. Are you calling Jesus a square? It's messed up.
No.
If you would like to tell us what you think about the John Honey Locust situation, we'd love to hear from you about that as well.
Only please, if you agree with me.
You know, it also helps if you would rate and review the podcast. We'd love that. That's a great way of helping us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about Proper 14. And until then, we say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Boom.